Show with Luke Brednum.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this sh- one more time.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on The Catch-Up. Luke Bradnam and Annabelle Brett, our special guest co-host this afternoon. Annabelle, do you know our producer Jeremy very well at all?
Yeah, man. We used to work together and we're the only two people in Australia that like rugby union.
Where did you guys used to work together?
Here.
Oh, here. Okay. Because I learned something about producer Jeremy today, which I find hilarious.
Oh,
and
no.
When I heard it, I just pretended I didn't hear it. And then I went, oh, I'll just wait and bring that up on the podcast instead.
Uh-oh.
I love that I'm a part of this. Thank you.
Do you know where I'm going, mate?
No idea.
You don't know where I'm going.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Producer Jeremy let slip this afternoon to one of the girls around here that at some stage he applied to be on The Bachelor.
Which season?
I did not know this.
And
Jeremy and tells us everything.
When I heard it, I went, oh, what a tosser in my head, right? And then I said nothing. I went, oh, I'm just going to keep hold of that. And then I will, bring it up, do the right thing by my mate and bring it up on air.
Use it against him forevermore.
Now, mate, when were you considering being on The Bachelor?
About 2-3 years ago.
Right. Now, were you considering being The Bachelor or just being one of the other guys?
No, one of the, 400 contestants that go on there.
Which chick was The Bachelorette?
I don't know because I was just applying for...
Did you watch the next season afterwards?
The next season. No, I didn't.
And so...
You could have had so fun.
What was the process, mate, when you went for it?
Oh, it didn't last very long. It said you need to be under 39. So I was out instantly.
This is real. This could have been you, mate.
Oh my gosh. You could have had really, really romantic dates that were totally organised by you and not Channel 10 producers.
God, I wish you had a got on that. That would have been hilarious. Like if producer Jeremy came to me off air and went, mate, I'm thinking of going on The Bachelor. Do you think it's a good idea? Even though I think it's an horrendous idea, yeah. I would say, yes I do, mate.
Do it. But can I ask, Luke, would you refer to Jeremy as your rugby expert or your reality TV expert
from then on? He'd be both. Like, do you reckon you would, what about you? If you had got on the show, mate, you could have been the first person that's actually truthful on the show and just rocked up. Because Jeremy's a good-looking guy with a great body. And he's probably going to be a better catch than what the actual chick was. Because sometimes they're not even that hot. And you could have just rocked up, looked at her, walked down the red carpet and gone, I can do better. And then just kept moving.
I'm good, thanks. Also, you would have been the only guy on there that actually did his profession. Because all of them are like, oh, real estate agent, whatever.
But they're
actors.
I'm a personal trainer.
And topless waiters. Every time.
Are you glad now you didn't get on it, mate?
Very much so.
But don't you think it would be embarrassing, seriously, that you're going on The Bachelor? What was your thinking? Like, to truly find love or to try to find some notoriety?
Not notoriety at all. No, I was just dabbling here and there and not finding anyone. So I went, righto, what's the option? And
But the option...
Tinder seems easier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
Because to go on The Bachelor, like to truly find love, you go, all right, instead of going down the pub where I can get one-on-one time with a chick straight up, I'm so desperate that I need to put myself up against 20 other guys for one girl's affection. Like that, your odds are so limited.
I just love group dates, that's all.
Oh. I just want to make some friends.
What other reality TV shows did you apply for and miss out on?
Survivor.
Did you?
Last year.
You'd be actually cracking at
you
that.
You would be good on Survivor.
That's where you belong.
And I got into the last round of Ninja Warrior.
Did you?
They are much better options than The Bachelor.
What's the process for Ninja Warrior?
It was horrendous.
And you didn't get through?
No, I was at the final stages. So
wow.
And they went, nah. So I didn't make the top.
Far out.
But that were physical 100 challenges that you had to do.
Full day up in Brisbane. Sorry?
Do you get to actually do the Ninja Warrior track?
No,
that'd be worth it.
Just up in Brisbane, they run you through. They pretty much drive you till you vomit.
Wow.
So
that would have been cool. Okay, we got a new show challenge. Producer Jeremy on a reality TV show.
I've got a new one. I've got a new one for next year.
What is it?
Amazing Race next year.
Yeah,
Lex and I. We're going for it.
Oh, do it.
You are? You've applied?
Yeah, we're going to go for it.
You've already applied for it?
Oh, I started applying, yeah.
Have you?
Yes. This could split them up, though. I'm a bit worried because that's a pretty high pressure.
It's the ultimate test. Can we go a little bit lower stakes? Apparently, there's a new one that's about mini golf. I feel that it's going to be a hit.
Reality TV show about mini golf. No, we're not going to get any show content out of that one. We want you on Amazing Race. Hey, good stuff. Coming up on the show this afternoon, we'll talk about, what have we got there? If you've ever stopped a wedding, we'll talk about that. Mick Fanning joins us. Gee, I'll tell you what, the whole bloody thing's good. Just have a listen. You can work out for yourself what's on it.
Good call.
It's starting right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I was out in my... I drive a Ford Ranger. I love them. Mm. And I was out in my Ford Ranger earlier today.
Should we play the cash sound when you said that?
No, I paid for it. But no, it's just, I went out to Coles at the one out of Benowa, and I saw something in the car parks there that I've never seen before. Now, you know that in the car parks we've got designated spots for the disabled, designated spots now for parents so that you get the wider berths to be able to get your
prams out.
They've got there now designated spots for old people. And I looked at it and I went, what is this? And initially it just looked like it's designated for couples. But in actual fact, it's the guy in the couple is wearing, he's got like a walking stick. So it's for old people.
The giveaway. And they're wearing like a little driver's hat thing.
But it's really subjective, Annabelle, because what constitutes being old?
Well, I'm pretty horrified. My dad turned 59. Recently,
mm-hmm.
and he told me at his birthday dinner that he apparently can now apply for a seniors card.
So he could probably park in this the old people's parking spot. He could.
This guy does 50 marathons and plays touch.
But I mean,
G up.
I mean, I'm in my 40s. I know when I was 18, I thought 40 was ancient as. So on that level, I should be able to park in the spot as well. Like, what is the go with these parking spots? How do you, like, if I parked in there and someone gave me a mouthful, I'd go, bugger off, mate. I'm older than you.
Yeah. Or you're like, hey, I am definitely old. Look at my Facebook. I've shared, like, at least 4 scam things from Qantas.
Look at me. I'm old, mate.
How do you prove it?
Hey, I'd go, hey, look at me, mate. I'm old. I've got the iPhone 6. Hey, we want to open the phones.
You say the Facebook, actually.
Yeah. If you know how this works, like what's the age that you're allowed to park in the old people's deal? Or if you know officially, what is the official age that you are old? Hey, Kurt from Corumba, mate, what did you want to say?
Well, I think when your kid comes up and tells you that you're old because you can't work technology anymore.
Right.
Fair. Or when you have to get them to help you with technology.
Mm.
Shameful.
Oh, it's just easier because they're quiker.
You're saying
that, years, but yeah.
That's when you know that you're old, mate, when your kids are doing that. I've got to tell you, I had the weirdest one for me. One time I wanted to punish Coralie for one thing, and I wanted to get her off technology, and I needed her help to show me how to do it.
How do you put child lock on this one? Cool, thanks.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Luke, I thought my workplace, my regular workplace in Coffs Harbour, was pretty chilled out.
Right.
But I've been here, was here a little while ago, here the last 2 days, and I tell you what, you guys take the cake.
Take the cake for what? Being chilled out?
Well, it's not even that. It's not just the way that you guys dress. It's the language that's thrown around in this office. The swearing here is out of control.
Really? Do you think we've got bad mouths? See, in all honesty...
I've got a pretty bad mouth, but we get sort of caught up on it a bit more where I work, whereas here, it's loose.
Really? Well, Brixie, you should apologise for being so foul-mouthed, mate. That's awful. And so should you, producer Jeremy. Of course, I've never once sworn off air.
No, it's really unlike you altogether.
I'm an absolute choir boy off air.
Apparently, there was a study that said in the UK, the average worker witnesses 55 swear words a week.
A week?
55 a week.
Hey, pussy.
They're soft. Yeah.
Shame on you, Poms.
Shame.
Yes.
I'd guess in Australia, we could like maybe times that by 8.
Yeah, but
minimum.
Do you think
and
it's
in this
offensive?
Office,
yeah.
From you in particular.
Really? Do you want
20.
Do you honestly think that I have a really bad mouth?
I don't only think that. I have evidence of it.
Oh, do you really?
I do.
DANYELL. Yell.
Yell.
It's been very smoky here over the last few weeks, for you guys. Yeah, terrific, hey? It was it's been nice to get up here because down south has been smoky for like 10 weeks. Yeah.
That the scene when DiCaprio's in the trailer and hating on himself and he's admitting he's drinking and stuff like that, I can't even award now.
His performance in that was better than the Redmond that he won.
Yeah,
Pesci, right?
Yeah, Pesci, yeah.
Does Pesci look like that now, or does that make him older?
No, Pesci looks like that now. Yeah, well, he's old. He is nearly 80, I think, yeah. And, but there's an
all still brilliant actor.
Have you guys watched the Russell Crowe one on Stan? I'm thinking about watching that tonight.
Really, Pesci, like that brilliant bad. What's not to like about Russell
Crowe? Because you're 30, right?
Yeah.
You're 30. Like, 30.
That was like 2 hours.
That was yesterday. Yes. That was yesterday. We were talking. That were our conversations off air yesterday. You know, what, just,
I had a proof. I had a point to prove.
I have a. I have to apologise. I do have a potty mouth, but also I have to apologise to the audience because it turns out our off air conversation was better than our on air conversation yesterday.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Luke, I've been to plenty of weddings in my adult life.
Bragger.
Oh, it's not a good thing. My hip pocket shows, that's for sure. In American movies, though, you know, like they're heading down the aisle and there's that scene where the person's like, if anyone in the audience has any just cause as to why these people should not be wed today, that doesn't actually happen in weddings, does it? Stupid question, I know.
I don't know. Does it not happen here in Australia?
I don't think so. Because
it's so dramatic, isn't it? If anyone has a reason why this wedding should go ahead, please speak up now or forever hold your peace.
I want to go to one once and just cough.
It should be that. I do. Yes. You should see what he did last night at the Bucks.
Well, my friend was at a wedding on the weekend, Luke, and she had a moment where she texted me and said, I am legit considering opposing this wedding going ahead right now.
Right. What happened?
Okay. Backstory. Few weeks ago, Hen's Night, Byron Bay. She didn't know the girl that well. Went along, they were all having a bit of fun. A couple of gay guys were there as well that were friends of them. And they were laughing about Grindr, the dating app for gay guys.
Right.
They had a bit of a look on one of the bloke's Grindr accounts to see if there was any quality gents for him in and around Byron Bay. And none other than, I feel like we need a dramatic sound effect or something. None other than the groom popped up on Grindr.
Really? Oh, and the fiance was there. She saw that he's on Grindr.
She was at her hens, yeah. She saw it. It was incredibly uncomfortable, apparently. A lot of tears, phone calls to him. And that's when he confessed that he had been.
That's the worst phone call ever. Me and every girl you know has just found you on Grindr.
Your mum's also here.
Oh, was the mum really there?
No.
Oh,
no.
Which
is why the wedding did go ahead.
And it still went ahead. She still married.
On the weekend.
What was his excuse for being on Grindr? Like, honestly, it doesn't matter that he was on Grindr. Even if he was on Tinder, the fact that he's on anything and he's about to get married is that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, she called him and he fessed up.
If I was about to get married to my girlfriend and then the night and I'm at my Bucks party and then someone says, "Oh, she's on Tinder," see ya.
Peace out. It's not very committed.
No,
right before a wedding.
What did he say? How did he justify being on Grindr?
He fessed up straight away. He's like, "I have been having affairs with not only women but men."
Really?
Just came out in the wash. Because yeah, there'd be a lot of emotions going through. She asked all the girls, including my friend, who doesn't really know her, "Should I proceed with the wedding?" And they all said no. Yet last weekend, the nuptials took place. I want to know. Is there anyone out there that has successfully stopped a wedding?
Oh, far out. That's the...
In its tracks. Maybe not on the day. That seems very American movie.
Nah, that's the best, mate. If anyone ever stopped it on the day, there's a good story there.
But if you convince someone not to go ahead with theirs.
Okay. Well, our number is 132710 if you want to weigh in on this. Good story.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
One of the funniest stories of the year so far for me has been this one that's just played out in court this week here on the coast. It's one of these big fancy boats that you see floating around in the broad water and you can hire it out. I think it costs about $6,000 or something to hire this thing out. And then there were allegations that old mate the skipper and the deckhand were getting it on while the boat was going, and the boat ran aground and may have struck something as well, apparently. Ooh. Like because they were going for it apparently up on the flybridge, and the skipper allegedly is driving it via remote control while he and the deckhand are going at it like rabbits.
Hitting the deckhand.
That's what they...
You didn't mean that, did you?
She's a deckhand.
Hitting the deckhand?
Oh.
Okay, yeah, good.
Annabelle's got a filthy mind. It's too filthy for me. I don't even get it. But anyway, the point being that this guy and the deckie, they deserve a round of applause because I can't do two things at once like they are. Give them a round of applause.
Yeah, multitasking. Good on ya.
I can barely concentrate on whatever I'm up to at the moment, but they're driving a boat. I mean, yeah, they ran into a few things. They ran into a sandbank and there's something else that was floating around, but still, you got to give it up for them. And then there's all these, it's all being played out in court at the moment. But my question for you, Annabelle, have you ever run into trouble while you've been going for it? Has anything awful ever happened? Anything ever, any accidents at all?
Yeah, okay. Well, look, obviously I'm pretty vanilla, but I've had crappy bed slats break or the mattress has fallen in because it's a bad bed from IKEA. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
I've never done that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes.
No one ever turned to me and said, God, you almost broke the bed. Never come close.
I'm putting that on my resume.
Never come close. Okay, we got a great prize up for grabs here. We've got a $100 voucher to spend at Kingscliff Beach Bowls Club. But we're going to open the phones up for you now. What went wrong while you were going for it? Did you run your boat aground like old mate?
Don't recommend IKEA beds. They don't last.
Did you break the IKEA bed? If you got a story for us, you might get this $100 voucher off us. Hey, Trevor from Upper Coomera has called through. What did you want to say, mate?
Mate, you're saying that what could have gone wrong whilst you were going for it. What about if you go for it and the husband or the wife comes in and says, "Honey, I'm home."
Right,
that would be uncomfortable. Yeah. Yes,
be uncomfortable for everybody. Maybe that's why they're out in the boat. No one's coming home there. Hey, Tracy from Paradise Point, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. You got a very, very noisy, phone.
She's on the water right now.
Yeah.
It's not a good line.
No, you can say that again. Actually, don't. Just get to your point so that we can wrap up the call. What's up, Tracy?
Okay. Well, it's very similar to the story in the news at the moment with the boat at Wave Break and the deckhand and the captain getting it on. Well, pretty much, I wasn't the deckhand, but my partner and I at the time were going for it at Wave Break on our boat. And basically, at the end of it, the boat was on its side.
Good work. You know you've done a good job when it ends that way.
The boat was on its side. You tipped the boat over.
The boat was on its side.
Are we talking
40-foot boat that's on its side.
How? Oh, my God. I was like, surely a tinny or a kayak.
How? What, did you get the tide get hold of it or something?
I can't recall exactly what happened, but it was basically when we finished doing the deed, the boat was on its side and it was a man, Trembo, and other people in their boats trying to help us get it back up on its driveway up.
Tracy, I've got a question. What do you tick on the insurance form for that?
Yeah, no, well, there was no damage, luckily. No damage, except to somebody's pride, but it was all good.
Hey,
I was occupied.
Unbelievable.
At the time.
Well done to you guys. I mean, how does a boat get on its side due to the tide in just 30 seconds? I don't know.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Coles are in the news for a couple of reasons, but one of the main ones is the fact that they, you go there and you pay your milk and it's been 10 cents extra for your milk.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they hadn't passed the 10 cents on to the farmers. But they are today. They're flinging them a few million bucks. So there's a lot of farmers that are pretty happy because they're getting $10,000 checks.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of farmers that probably folded in the time that they weren't getting that money.
Mm, but today they're happy because they're getting their checks today. But a lot of people up in arms about Coles. And then the funny thing that happened down at the front of Parliament House is that all of the dairy farmers got together and they were doing a protest. It was one of those ones where they actually, I think, camped out the front of Parliament House. And they're big, burly blokes. The visual on this is so funny. So there's this big, burly dairy farmer and then this real nerdy-looking politician. And Michael McCormack, he's our deputy PM. And I'm ashamed to say, I'd never heard of this guy before. He's our deputy prime minister. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I have. Because I live in regional Australia. We meet, this is the one that actually visits. Well, he's not the real PM.
He's not making too many waves because he hasn't cut through onto my radar. And I don't reckon most Aussies would know who this guy is. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup either. As I said, he looks like a science teacher. And he's mixing it up with these burly burly dairy farmer. And this dairy farmer just completely owns him. And it's in front of the media as well. So they're having a bit of a to and fro. And this guy just gets floored. Have a listen how he gets owned.
When we stopped the buybacks, we kept the buybacks.
Yes, the buybacks shouldn't have happened in the first place.
I appreciate that. We weren't in government when that happened.
Yes, I know, but...
And we weren't in government
when... Look, you could walk up there tomorrow and tell the Liberal Party, we're crossing the floor, your government stuff, do something. You could do that tomorrow. I don't know if you're sitting tomorrow.
You might save your jobs then.
The National Party is not going to exist after the next election unless you grow some spine and stand up. Where's the passion? I haven't seen any passion from you. You're like a poker player. Get up there and say, this is not enough. Get angry. Show some passion. Oh. Where's your passion?
I'm pretty passionate.
Well, you're not showing it.
Wow. I don't think that Michael McCormack expected that dairy farmer to know so much about politics.
I just love...
He's like, what do you mean? Cross the floor. Who told you that stuff?
The bit at the end there where Michael, he goes, you got no passion, mate. Get up there and show some passion. You're like a poker player. You got nothing. And he goes, I'm pretty passionate.
The robot speaks.
I'm very passionate. And it just about, he sounds like he's just woken up. Oh, far out. I laughed when I heard that. There's some news breaking with regards to Israel Folau and how much his payout was from the Australian Rugby Union. Get ready to yell at your radio when you hear the figure getting bandied about this afternoon that's been thrown to Israel Folau. We'll get into that story for you next.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Yesterday, we had Peter Fitzsimons on the show about the Israel Folau settlement. So Israel and the Australian Rugby Union settled out of court, I guess, to save everyone money and to save everyone embarrassment. And we weren't told what the figure was. How much did Israel get paid by the ARU? He was chasing them for $14 million. Surely they didn't pay him $14 million. Peter Fitzsimons joined us on the show yesterday, and we were just sort of... We were taking stabs in the dark, and this is what Fitzy had to say.
I'm guessing, you know, 200,000 or 300,000 because, oh, and the reasoning. Hang on, well, this is the reasoning. This is my reasoning. So I have talked, you know, so Rugby Australia people won't get within a bull's roar of telling me anything, but I can say that in public and in private and at midnight, they were very, very legally confident of their case.
I can confirm that, by the way. I've got family close in Rugby Australia, and they were very confident.
Well, he said that they reckon they were going to get about 300,000 or 400,000. The word around the campfire this afternoon is that the ARU have paid Israel Folau $8 million. Now, nobody knows if that's true or not, but that's the rumour that everyone's sort of circulating on social media, the Savo. Raylene Boyle heads up the ARU. She's come out and she's put out a tweet where she's gone, hey, the figure that everyone's talking about, it's nowhere near that amount. And then other media commentators are now ragging on Raylene Boyle going, well, we'll keep guessing whatever we want because unless you tell us the figure, we're well within our rights to be guessing.
Luke, you have to know, though, the Daily Mail just triples whatever they hear.
Right.
So yeah. That's where the $8 million came from, I reckon.
Our producer, Jeremy, once played rugby union at a top level. So that makes him our rugby union expert on the show. And he seems to know something about this. What do you want?
Well, for a start, it's Raylene Castle. Raylene Boyle was a runner, but anyway. Like...
Hey, good. I'm glad I don't know who runs Rugby Union. I hate Rugby Union. They're a bunch of toffee-nosed snobs. And I'd rather Raylene Boyle be running it than Raylene Castle.
She'd be running, literally.
Raylene, she's a Kiwi, isn't she, as well?
Yes, she is.
Go back to New Zealand. Let's have an Aussie run Rugby
Union. They're good
union.
At it, though.
Are they?
They're the only ones that are good at it.
Well, she's not doing that good of a job for us. Go on, mate.
$8 million blown out of the water completely. He will not be getting anywhere near $8 million. They'd budgeted $4 million in their contract negotiations for his new contract moving forward.
Right.
So they already had $4 million there. They had insurance for what was happening in court anyway, so they won't be out of pocket at all.
Good.
So it won't come for the juniors or anything
did he
like
get?
That.
In your
in
inside
my honest
word,
opinion,
mate.
Is between $2 million and $4 million.
Far out.
Well, Raylene Castle said several.
Several million.
Yeah.
Did she say several million?
That
wow.
was the most official. And look, okay, as let's long go. As it's not going to go out of money.
He's good on Israel. He's got himself he got himself some money. All right. Here's the question. Round the room. Should Israel Folau now be able to play NRL? What say you, producer Jeremy? Yes or no?
No.
No? What do you say,
no,
Annabelle?
No, absolutely not. Bring up some new talent from underneath who actually appreciate being there.
I go against the grain. I thought we had a thing called freedom of speech in this country. As despicable as what Israel said was, I think he should be able to play rugby league. And his were words. There's people representing rugby league and playing rugby league that have done far worse, domestic violence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I say let him play rugby league and earn a quid, but that's just my thoughts.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
And I had an interesting day today, Annabelle. I had to go and give blood.
Oh, really?
Oh, actually, that sounds... it wasn't quite giving blood. I had to go get a blood test.
Okay, that's a bit scarier sometimes. Was it for any reason? Or?
No, just something I got going on. I just had to go and get a blood test done, and they were checking me out for a few different things. And what I didn't know when I get there is the lady goes, all right, we're going to check you for this and this and this and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, all right, while I'm getting all this sorted... can you go do the urine sample, right? And I didn't know I had to give a urine sample. I had no idea. And I'd already just been to the bathroom. Literally.
Are you glad that it was the urine and not the other one?
Oh, I couldn't even handle that. But I've had to go to the bathroom and there's no part of me that wants to have a leak. I just had one.
And it psychs you out. It totally psychs you out.
Now I go waltzing into the bathroom. And it's not even like a private bathroom, so there's just other dudes there, except I've got a little vase. Like, what a creep. Like, I've just... it's like I've got this little vase thing that I've got to get my old boy into at the urinal.
But not too close, because it'll splash back.
MP into it while there's other guys around. And, Brixie, you'll understand this. Not only have I got that going on, but I don't even need to pee. So now I'm just standing there at the urinal with my old boy in a vase and not peeing.
Oh,
just
man.
Praying to a God I don't even believe in that something will come out.
Did you try and drink some water or give that a crack?
How quick would that work?
Well, the lucky one for me is announce that there's a flight departing because immediately.
Is it?
Need to pee. Oh, a knee immediately.
Nothing worked for me.
And final boarding call.
I was just, and eventually I got something out. Like just nothing like what you were playing before, Brixie. It didn't sound anything like. Mate, I barely filled this little thing, and that was it. I came out, but it reminded me of when my brother and his wife Jody, they had the worst one. This is me. That's me.
Just dripping it off.
At the urinal today.
Now I need to pee because you're playing this.
Oh,
thanks for nothing.
Out. That's it, Brixie. How did you know? Right?
He was there, actually.
Oh, and then I go, my brother was telling me, he goes, remember my story? He goes, when he was trying to get pregnant, when Jody was trying to get pregnant the first time, they were having a few difficulties, so they had to go and get them both tested out. So Jode got tested, Ashley got tested, and Ashley had to go and actually give it to himself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, they got magazines and videos and stuff.
So he goes rocking in, and the lady goes, okay, you're going to have to go into this room here and go and give us a sample. So... Ashley goes, fair enough, and he rocks off. And, like, no joke, like, a minute later he's back and she's gone, did you not find the room? And he goes, no, I'm finished.
She goes,
that was quick. And he goes, I'm pretty good at it. Been doing it since I was 14.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Not back tomorrow, Annabelle.
Yeah, and I've got my work Christmas party.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, good to know that you're prioritising things.
Well, I mean, it's...
Hey,
excuse me, if you put on a smorgasbord, then we'll chat.
I tell you what, with that sort of work ethic, you'll fit right in here. We like your swagger. Hey, can I just, before we're going to get into the top five for you in just a moment, but I just wanted to send a quick shout out to the Miami. Now, what is the Miami? Well, it's basically where the old Shark Bar was, but there's a grand opening on tonight, and a lot of us radio freeloaders, I mean, a lot of us radio folk are heading along, and it should be a pretty good night. So it's good to see a lot of new places opening up around the Gold Coast, and good luck to the Miami. I hope it's a good night for you. Let's do the top five, eh, Brixie?
Now it's time for top five.
So usually this week, this time of the week, Annabelle, we do the top five songs in the country for that particular week. But given that this is our final week of the show for season 2019, this week we're doing what, Brixie?
These are the top five songs of 2019 as calculated by myself.
Okay. Ooh. All right.
Yes. Well, what I did, because they haven't actually released the list of it, I've gone through and looked at the number one songs, how long they were in the top five.
Right.
And then I calculated it from there.
Okay. Scientist Brixie.
Top five songs in the country for season 2019. We'll run the rule over them and let you know if we like them. What was the fifth highest selling song of 2019, mate?
Something we play here on Triple M. This is Lewis Capaldi, Someone You Loved.
Wow, that was this year, right?
Yeah. It felt like so much longer. Just to know how it feels. Oh, I feel bad. He's clearly sad. But it's never the same.
I guess I kind of like the way you help me escape. I like this song. It's good. I like it. Do you like it, Annabelle?
I got told I look like that guy once. That's pretty hurtful.
Oh, that's insulting to both of you.
I know. Look, it's a beautiful song. Well written by him, too.
Yeah. Okay, number four. This was clearly Luke's favorite song of 2019.
I'm the bad. Oh, you're joking.
Yes.
Nah.
Duh.
This is the worst song I've ever heard in my life. And I'm not joking. I can't think off the top of my head a worse song. My daughter could write a better song than this when she was three, armed only with a recorder. I hate it.
I love Billie Eilish. Mostly because she makes wearing tracksuits and not putting much makeup on cool, which I'm into.
So you like it?
Yeah, I'm a fan.
Okay, yeah, Annabelle likes it. Number three, Post Malone and Swae Lee and Sunflower. You're left in the dust, unless I stuck
by you. You're a sunflower. This is the third highest selling song of the year, eh?
This was technically released late last year. But it hit number one in January and it stayed in the charts for 31 weeks.
It's in heaps of movies. That's why it's in the Spider-Man movie. Yeah.
Nice song. I like it.
Yeah. I like Post.
It's a double thumbs up. Woo!
Aren't we positive?
Well, now we've got to start guessing. What was the... Okay, no, we're at number two, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
Okay, look, number two. This was a song very special to us this year because Luke did this.
Let's get masculine. Let's dance. I'll learn a dance to this.
Can you do it again now?
Oh, I wouldn't be able to remember it. They G'd me up. They got me to learn a dance. I thought that I was being a part of some Gold Coast celebrity dance competition or something.
Oh, no.
The whole thing was BS. I wasted, no joke, I went to maybe... Would you give me... Reckon I went to 10 dance lessons on
Absolutely,
this?
Absolutely, 10 dance lessons.
Like, with time that I don't have...
I hate to tell you this, but like primary school kids do this dance as well.
Oh, ours was a whole thing, a whole separate thing that we were dancing with a girl. And honestly, I went to 10 dance rehearsals with this chick to learn a dance for a waste of time that never happened.
And, damn it. I wish that was my idea to do
it was
on you.
So dumb. So for that reason, I hate it, Brixie.
What about you, Annabelle?
I still like it. Okay. They could play it 400,000 more times.
Number one song for 2019. Let's guess. What do you reckon? Yep. God.
Mine's Tones and I. Dance Monkey.
I've got a feeling it's one of those country songs. What was it, Brixie?
I think Annabelle's on the money. This song is killing it. It's number one in seven countries. She's appeared on US television on Jimmy Kimmel. It's racing up the charts in America.
So she's broken through to America now, eh?
Yep. Mm,
that's Good when it gets big. That's pretty cool that a chick from around here, like Byron.
Yep. Good on her.
Got that.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Brixie. There you have it. The top five songs for season 2019. Annabelle, thank you for your company this afternoon. Very much appreciate it. God knows if you're getting the gig. Who would know? And I don't even think we're ever going to have anyone replace Margot, quite frankly, the way we're going at the moment.
The revolving door.
Thank you for your company, the Savo. We'll see you tomorrow afternoon from 3 for our final show of the year.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.